This should be. I don't know why I'm having such like a hard time with this. It's just like it's like. All of a sudden,
just
it's like
pick
none
someone
of them
off
worthy.
The top of your head.
No, it's not. No, it's Mount Rushmore. But this will be recorded forever and carved in stone.
Not forever. It will eventually geographically weather. Hello and welcome to Catholic Bites, a podcast for busy Catholics. This is Father Conrad. I have with me Father Alec.
Hello.
And today we are playing a game which I love to play, which is who is on your Mount Rushmore of saints?
Mount Rushmore of saints.
So if you had to carve a mountain in South Dakota with four saints on it, whose four faces would you carve? And
such a hard game.
I know. So, but we got to lay the ground rules. The Blessed Virgin Mary gets her own mountain, like the mountain with Sitting Bull in North Dakota that they're carving right now. So she gets her own
mountain. She's her own mountain. So, Blessed Virgin Mary is number one, number one, number one. We'd have four Virgin Marys if we could count her.
Exactly. So, okay. So, if my Mount Rushmore is Our Lady of Guadalupe and
Our Lady of Perpetual
Our
Help.
Our Lady of Fatima and Our Lady of the Miraculous Medal.
Yeah, perfect. Perfect, perfect, perfect. Set and done.
Okay. And then the other rule is that, so we're gonna rank them. Yep. We're gonna start with number four and work your way to number one. It doesn't necessarily
mean... So, Father Conrad, does that mean that I don't love number four very much?
That's what it means. No, it means that in order of affection, as we know from St. Thomas about the object of charity,
yes,
you can love things more intensity. Just doesn't mean that they're less valuable. It means that you're more connected to them in some way.
I think that is actually that sounds like a good principle.
Okay, good. So we're gonna start with Teddy Roosevelt.
Teddy Roosevelt. We were talking about this. The objectively worst. No offense, Teddy Roosevelt. Worst president on Mount Rushmore.
No, he's not the worst, but I don't know. We're probably gonna get some angry emails about that.
Come on.
Okay. So number four. Who's number four on your Mount Rushmore?
You. I thought we were discussing that. You are beginning.
No. I'm leading. Okay. You go first.
Okay. Number four. So my number four is a touch of a curveball. I wasn't quite sure who I was going to put in here. But for number four, I have chosen St. Thomas More. St.
Okay.
Thomas More, English martyr, died in defense of the faith, really. He died specifically because he did not believe that King Henry VIII, I know all of you know the story, King Henry VIII could change the rules on marriage. But what I admire so much about Thomas More, and I think we've done a podcast on Thomas More,
we have,
is that he was unflinchingly faithful in what he did. He knew his faith backward and forward, and he knew exactly where what he believed and how far he could compromise. He sought no conflict. He simply was true to his faith, and when conflict came upon him, he answered as he had to answer. It's to me, it's like exactly how if I were ever called on to be a martyr. That is exactly how I'd want to respond. Mm-hmm. Is I would want to have that that incredible heart to be able to say, like, look, I'm not seeking this conflict, but the love of Christ compels me. Such an inspiration.
Okay. Yep. Sounds great. And now we've just eaten up all our time for the podcast. Okay. No, my number four is Saint Teresa Benedicta of the Cross, aka Edith Stein.
Okay.
Who was
offbeat, but not surprising.
I know. I love her, but she was 20th century. Phenomenologist, Jewish convert to Catholicism. She was a disciple of Edmund Husserl. She was one of the foremost minds in Germany at her time. And then she discovered the truth of the faith, converted, and became a Thomist and a Carmelite nun.
Awesome.
And then she was martyred by the Nazis at Auschwitz.
Yes.
Super awesome story. Learn more about her. Okay.
She is.
Number three.
My number three. I feel like I'm going to get Father Conrad throwing a chair at me for this one, just because, not because who it is, but because of where I'm putting him. I'm going with St. Thomas Aquinas.
Boo!
As my number three. Goes without saying, when you listen to Catholic Bites, you hear Father Conrad frequently cite Thomas directly. I cite Thomas occasionally, less often. But the great...
Like, who would you put above him?
We're going to have to find out, right?
Okay, great.
But the great doctor of the church, the brilliant theologian, really just, and such an incredible abiding love for Christ.
Yeah.
I mean, more than anything else, just incredible. Read his works, obviously. Be formed by his thought. It's really, truly amazing.
Yes, go read all his works.
Also, I went to the University of St. Thomas Aquinas for my seminary, so special place in my heart.
You got it. He founded it. Okay.
Number three.
My number three, and this is a hard choice. I'm going to go with St. Ambrose.
Okay. Okay, good.
We have this fight all the time. St. Ambrose, who's the great doctor of the church, the Archbishop of Milan. You can learn about him on Habemus Papam.
Yes.
And he converted St. Augustine. and he's my confirmation saint.
Why would we be concerned about St. Augustine?
Because he's your confirmation saint, and he's in either number one or number two on your spot.
You don't know. You don't know.
Okay, let's go. Number two.
My number two is St. Augustine.
Yes, I told you.
And St. Augustine... I picked St. Augustine because, as much as I love Thomas Aquinas, and I do from the depths of my heart, I think that St. Augustine is the most impactful and most brilliant mind to ever write in the church. And I think that even if you love St. Thomas Aquinas, you have to at least concede that possibility. His theology is unbelievable. He's prolific, and he has the principal kind of quote by which we live our life, which is, "My heart is restless until it rests in you," which is this principle that, like, nothing else that we're going to do is going to satisfy us unless we seek God. So he's one that
And he learned it all from St. Ambrose.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, my number two is St. Benedict.
Oh, good choice. Good choice.
Yeah, yeah. I went to a Benedictine high school. I love St. Benedict, the rule of St. Benedict. My grandfather, when I was graduating from high school, gave me he couldn't believe I hadn't read the rule of St. Benedict in high school. And so he pulled out of his bag this, like, coffee-stained paperback copy of the Rule of St. Benedict that he read every single day.
Yeah,
and when you read the Rule of St. Benedict, it's this beautiful, simple way of following Christ in obedience and humility. And it's just such, St. Benedict is such an incredible saint. And not to mention the fact that the Benedictines saved the church, like, several different times throughout its history. So, and it reminds me that, I don't know if you remember this, but there was a moment when we were new in seminary and they took us to Assisi. And
I do remember that.
You of course remember that. But Father Belsel, who's a Benedictine, was asked when we were in Assisi around all this stuff about St. Francis, "Oh, what do you think about these Franciscans?" And he says, "Ah, oh, these young religious orders. Call me when they're 1,000 years old." St. Benedict, you know, of course, he's
what is he? Sixth century, so 500s.
Yeah, and he's absolutely epic.
He is. And he is truly, genuinely
a really beautiful saint and a saint for our time today. Okay, number one.
My number one is a classic, but this was immediate to me. My number one is St. Joseph. St. Joseph, the husband of Mary, the foster father of Jesus. I love St. Joseph because St. Joseph lives his life as I would like to be able to live my life as a Christian, which is to say, quietly and behind the scenes and just trying to, and I know, I mean, obviously right now I'm talking into a microphone literally as I say this, so it feels compromised.
Don't
but
worry, no one listens to this podcast.
Yeah, it's a shouting into the wind. But no, I think that his incredible willingness to just lay his life down for the love of Christ and the love of Mary is just, it's perfect. It's exactly how I want to live my life, is just to say, I'm not, in the most positive sense, I'm just here in support. I'm just trying to make the love of Christ radiate in the world and in the most beautiful way possible.
Yeah.
And get the fringe benefit of getting to be close to Jesus and love him, which is pretty good.
That's a fringe benefit. Well, my number one is St. Thomas.
St. Thomas. Shocker, shocker of shockers.
Well, not only because he was, like, brilliant and everything he read, like, or everything he wrote is just such a perfect explanation of our Lord and what he's done in the world, but also because he's deeply spiritual. You know, mm-hmm. This is a guy who is a real mystic and
absolutely
who encountered God and desired, even though he knew how futile it was in a certain sense, he desired to describe the truth to us. And I find, like, the three or four times in my life where I've had one of those incredible moments of clarity in my thought and I'm like, oh my gosh, I understand something so beautifully, it always has come from St. Thomas Aquinas.
It's true that he's hard to top as far as, like, incredible insights, much as I love Augustine. I mean, it was a worthwhile top choice.
Yeah. Okay, so now we can do a couple honorable mentions. Yeah. Like, if we're talking about the Mount Rushmore, then these would be like the butter cows of Iowa State Fairs, or
absolutely,
maybe, or like the world's largest truck stop.
So did
south of the border.
I guess first is because one of your saints was in my honorable mention.
Okay,
Saint Benedict.
Oh, nice.
Honorable mention. Were any of my saints in your honorable mention?
No.
No, not even Saint Joseph. That makes sense. Not Saint Augustine. Not Saint Joseph. Whatever. That's fine.
No, my honorable mention number one is Elizabeth Ann Seton.
A great saint. Great saint. What about her? Just quick.
Well, partially because of going to Mount St. Mary's for a couple of years where she lived.
Yep.
But also just her down to earth nature and the fact she's a normal person who desired to follow Christ radically and serve the church. And it's really beautiful.
So I have Saint Benedict, then I have Three others. I'll be quick though. Okay. One is so I'll do them and then you can finish off. I don't know. Yeah, that's okay, fair. Sure. So my honorable mentions: Damien DeVoister, also known as Damien Amalekai, amazing, gave his whole life up for the church. But really, what puts him on top is Robert Louis Stevenson's letter in defense of Damien Amalekai. Robert Louis Stevenson is not even a Catholic, and he defended him against against basically libelous charges that he was not really that holy. But he was so enraged by hearing this that he had to take up the defense. Not even a Catholic. I don't even know if he was a particularly religious man. So that puts him over the top. Saint Therese of Lisieux.
Yep, I was
on the strength of Story of a Soul, just her incredible spiritual insights, and then Mother Teresa, just not only for the service that she gave the world, but I think that Father Conrad could attest to this as well. Her incredible witness of being able to love from the midst of a place of spiritual darkness, and just the faith and the trust and the incredible fruit that was born from that.
Yeah, that's a good choice. The one person that I have on my list that you didn't. Saint Gregory the Great.
Oh, good.
He was such an incredible pope and a real light in his time. And then I had one more, but now I'm forgetting it. So I guess not as honorable of a mention.
Walburga?
Oh, no. Now I remember. Saint John Henry Newman, or soon to be Saint John
soon
Henry Newman.
Soon to be, not yet. Yeah, I don't know John if he Henry can Newman. Count for sure, because he's a blessing still.
He's amazing. Okay, well.
Send us emails about how wrong we are.
Yeah, or
about
exactly.
Teddy Roosevelt.
Well, I'm going to get a text message. Like, it won't even air yet, but I'll get a text message from Father Chris Seif's mom telling me how I'm wrong. So thank you, everyone, for listening. Let us know who's on your honorable mention.
Who's your
Mount Rushmore of saints. Yeah. You can find us at CatholicBitesPodcast.com. You can find us also on Facebook and Twitter and all those other places, too. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and God bless you.